Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition. Another full house, Ryan Green, Christine Killemeyer, Rob Misch here to talk about UNLV, keeping the 2009 season relevant for another week at least.
That was cute. That was alphabetical, the introductions.
Was really?
Yeah. Green, just, Killemeyer, Misch. Did you do that?
I was just going clockwise.
Oh, okay.
I'm in That'll a clockwise kind of mood. 35-16, UNLV defeats Colorado State. Colorado State no longer can be bowl eligible. They are 3-7. Losers of seven in a row. And guys, let's just get right into it. Not the most thrilling of football games.
No.
I think that puts it best.
Nope. I was a little bored. I bonded with our photographer, Justin Bowen.
For the better part of the fourth
quarter. For the better part of the fourth quarter. Rested the knees a little bit.
And why was it so boring? It's because... Well, you look. The numbers really don't lie. Colorado State had the ball for almost two-thirds of this game. They had it for almost 38 minutes, and they really didn't do much with it. They only got 16 points. One was kind of a desperation touchdown in the second half. A lot of drives that went deep and then didn't produce much because of either penalties, turnovers, big hits by UNLV on crucial plays. And then when UNLV had the ball, they moved it fast. And they scored fast. They didn't have it very long.
It was kind of uncharacteristic. That 9-minute drive, I think, that Colorado State had in the third into the fourth, that was what really, I think, turned fans off and sent the few fans that were there. What was the announced attendance? Do we have?
Almost 16,000.
Yeah, which was by far the lowest this season.
Baloney. Yeah.
But how many were really there?
Yeah. I think that was the pay.
Justin and I were discussing between 7 to 9.
I was saying 11 or 12.
Well, that's optimistic.
Yeah. I think anywhere around there, either way, there wasn't 16,000 people there. But
negative.
You're right, though. That was a 9-minute drive
that
netted nothing.
I know.
And UNLV in turn runs a 49-second drive, 74 yards, scores a touchdown before the half, scores another touchdown on a 75-yard drive after the half. And that was pretty much all she wrote.
It was funny, after that Omar Clayton, that first touchdown to start the game off, I literally, the words coming out of my mouth right before he reached the end zone were almost, oh my God, Omar Clayton, why are you running the ball? But he did a really good job. And I mean, he gave, post-game, he gave a lot of good credit to, you know, Channing Trotter and guys that were out there that threw some great blocks for him.
Mm-hmm. And the running game was really a big reason why he looked so good. Five different Rebels had at least five carries apiece, and all five of them had at least 22 yards off of it. And everything worked well hand in hand tonight for the Rebels. It was, like we said, pretty simple.
Yeah. X's and O's kind of win. I just find it odd how much they ran the ball. I mean, it worked fine, but considering Colorado State has one of the most abysmal pass defenses in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I did find. I mean, granted, they did try to pass it to Philip Payne a number of times, and yet
a couple went off his face mask,
off his hands, off his gut, off that number four. Just oi, oi is all I have to say. Oi, gavalt.
Oh, you're busting out the Yiddish on us.
I am.
Late at night.
It is. Well, sleepy.
Rob, you took a look after the game at the defense and specifically the big plays on defense, you know, because we talk about everything working hand in hand. The offense was able to feed off of some momentum created by the defense, and Quentin Pointer created one of those moments on a big play down deep in the red zone.
Yeah, midway through the third quarter, Colorado State was driving. They got down to the 12. Third down play, heck, if they convert, maybe they punch it in, maybe they have their deficit. But Pointer came off the left side and sacked Greenwood. Well, didn't sack him, but tackled him for 8-yard loss. And next thing you know, they miss a field goal, no points. So, you know, a season of few big plays on defense, that one kind of stood out, kind of glared.
Mm-hmm.
So they, they were at the very bottom of the country, like many defensive statistics in tackles for loss.
Mm-hmm.
So, and heck, 118, they were tied for 118 with interceptions. They got an interception today.
Well, they were actually coming in.
Right.
They were 120 all by themselves in interceptions with two. And then after today, tied for last.
Oh, so the NCAA updated their stats that quickly. That's
Isn't
impressive.
That website awful?
Awful.
It's awful. The NCAA website?
They already had it updated.
They updated
after
it
the
right
game.
As soon as the game is over.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
Maybe, Maybe you look at different things than I look at. I think their website's awful. Let's just be personally. Anyway,
there's no bells and whistles there.
No,
I will say that. But
I like my bells and whistles.
But one thing that their website can tell you, if you delve into the stats, it's that UNLV did some things well tonight that typically they haven't this year. Red zone conversions. They got there four times, scored four touchdowns. They had no turnovers. Omar Clayton is third game in a row with no turnovers. But also, if you look on there, you will see that next week they try to keep the season relevant for a couple more weeks leading into their season finale when they travel to Air Force. Air Force is now 6-3, bowl eligible for the third straight year, but a dangerous combination of things that have killed UNLV. They have the number 7 overall defense in the country, and they have the number 4 rushing offense. It looks like quite a challenge. They better get their smiles and hugs in tonight is basically what we're saying, it sounds like.
I mean, they can run it out till next week. The smiles expire next Saturday.
You know, the season comes down to next week because San Diego State, you should be able to beat them at home. They're not.
Well, I feel like we've said that before, though.
Wait a minute. Been able to beat them on the road last year.
I feel like those words have been uttered before with this UNLV football program.
But you're right. It comes down to next week. Plain and simple.
But the thing is, they all know that.
Yeah.
Whether knowledge of that can translate onto the field is another story.
Blah, blah, blah.
Are you talking about this past game?
Maybe a whole season. All I know is this was the first time they ever beat Colorado State here in Vegas. So, you know, this team's just got to grasp at any little straw, and that's not a little one. So that's something. And they did stop a stretch in which they had lost 12 of 13 to the Rams. So, hey, at this point, any little bit helps.
They're undefeated in the month of November.
You blew them away there. Delivering that little tidbit.
I know.
Well, will they stay undefeated in the month of November? Let's get into that, looking ahead a little bit, because Colorado State, you know, if you remember last year, it's basically the same Colorado State team that was here last year, Air Force, excuse me. They led Air Force to start the fourth quarter, and then, you know, one of what seemed like a million fourth quarter meltdowns ensued, and
The one that came down to the very last play. It was a fourth and long.
About 30, Look, Air Force is good on defense, and it's gone unnoticed because everybody in the league talks about TCU's defense, Utah's defense, but, you know, Air Force has only allowed one team, and they've already played TCU and Utah. One team has scored more than 20 points on them, and that was Utah, and they needed overtime to get over 20. So, I don't know. Do you see any of this? Basically, what I'm asking is, do you see any of what this consistent
the momentum from this game?
Yeah, do you see it carrying over at all?
No, because this Colorado State team is
they were that bad.
We discussed going into this game whether or not this game was going to be worse than the UNLV New Mexico game. I almost take that New Mexico game over this one.
I think it's a coin flip. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean the Rebels played a lot better in this game. But, is Colorado State bad.
Mm-hmm. And they ran for 200 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Rob, you even asked the question, how did this team win three games?
They must have had a young Okamoto quarterbacking for it, and then he went over to his high school squad.
Found an extra year of eligibility up the road in Windsor. But, no, you're right. It seems like the wheels just completely fell off the bus. They had three wins to start the year, and two of them were pretty impressive. They beat Colorado before we all knew that Colorado sucked, and they beat Reno.
What do you mean before we knew? We've always known. Let's be honest.
All right. And they beat Reno, who's probably going to be a bowl team this year, as long as they keep this late season run going. So, did UNLV look that consistent tonight?
Colorado State has self imploded. But they bought into their own hype, and it's all since fallen apart since that point. Obviously, I don't know much about the program and specifically what fell apart with them. But I think this is going to be a completely different challenge for them next week, going to Air Force, playing at Air Force. And you know the Stripes aren't going to be on their side.
Yeah.
You can already count that factor out of the game. So it's, I don't know.
How about College Game Day going to Air Force this weekend?
I love that they're doing that all of this. Cool. And then what the Fox NFL show is going to Afghanistan and doing all this Veterans Day stuff. I think that's superb. I think it's really great that ESPN's really kind of taking something like that and running with it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for UNLV, it would have been great for UNLV, like, get a little national attention, even if it's just for the sheer fact that they're playing at Air Force. If it could have been 1 week later, could have gotten a little bit of that spotlight. Just a little sliver of the spotlight.
Which leads to our preamble. This was just a little preliminary stuff leading up to the real story. Hoops starts.
Yes, it does, this week.
Washburn, more people in the MAC than there was in Sam Boyd today?
Absolutely. Hands down.
Tuesday?
Tuesday, I think it's a push. I think
because that's what I was asking.
We're going pick 'em Tuesday.
That's what I was saying.
Fifteen's a little bit.
We're
not going official.
No, I'm talking about legitimate,
actual. Yeah. So we're saying what about 10, 11? Being generous. Yeah, 10. I think basketball wins.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, let me get another prediction from you. 2 weeks ago, you had the gall to pick TCU to shut out the Rebels. Does Air Force do the same? Are you that ballsy? What do you got?
You going with 51-14 again?
I'm not going to go with a shutout, but single digits.
Okay, so what's your score? Let's get early predictions here.
45-6.
Killer.
Is that two field goals, or is that a touchdown mixed extra point?
Touchdown and a missed two-pointer.
the two pointer.
This is the
two pointer for pride.
Cleanup touchdown at the end of the game. Wow, so generous, Rob Mitch.
They know what the line's going to be.
Yeah.
No, I'm just
kidding. Do we know? It won't be out until tomorrow.
But we were guesstimating about 13, 14 points, and if that's the case, go with the Stars and Stripes. Killer, what's your prediction?
We were playing that in the press box tonight.
Were you really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The Benny Hill theme. Ryan pulled it up, yeah. We kept it on low volume.
This is what happens when games get boring. Yeah.
No, and then you missed it. We put on Seinfeld, the Jay Buhner episode.
Oh, yeah.
This is what happens when I have to stand out on the sidelines.
You miss George's father asking what George Steinbrenner is doing giving $12 million to Hideki Urabu, basically.
What are you talking about?
We have totally glossed over the fact that UNLV basketball won a basketball game today.
Yeah.
That Manny Pacquiao did not attend.
He did not. He was not there. They beat Long Beach State in that private scrimmage by 5 or 6 points. That was according to Lon Kruger. There were no final stats, so he thinks it was between 5 and 6. And
who does he think looked good?
Trayvon Willis was the only Rebel to score in double figures. Other than that, they need help on the boards.
Gee, Trayvon Willis, the only guy in double figures, and they need help on the boards. Is it 2008 again?
Seriously, what's going on? All right. Are we stuck in some time like warp in the city of Las Vegas? I think we are. The economy
it's Groundhog Day every day.
I know. Yeah. Same economy as last year.
Killer.
All of it.
Air Force prediction.
Oh, we're back to that again. I'll go 27-7.
Wow, you're giving the Rebels defense a lot of credit. That's fair. I'm going 44-10. Any final comments anybody wants to get off before we get out of here? Can't hear it enough.
That wasn't me, for the record.
We'll have it.
I would say that there's a little bit of a pitch difference in you from here.
Just a tad. But as far as final comments, no.
Same here. We'll be here with the midweek edition of the Rebel Room. Be sure to check out for that. For all your UNLV sports needs, LasVegasSun.com/Rebels. For Rob Mish, for Christine Killemeyer, kind of clockwise that time.
Oh, thanks.
And Ryan Green. We'll talk to you this week.
What are we in Australia? Are we in Australia?